Tokyo, Australia, Germany.
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Sorry about the drum loop there, but I was getting the head-on.live streaming going again. I was getting a bizarre message I've never seen before in about 12-plus years of using that interface. It went away, so we're going to cross our fingers and hope that everything works this evening. I've thrown the other switch, Sylvia. Please. It's not going to be one of those evenings, is it? The production machine is running weirdly. Oh, someday. New equipment would be lovely. I just got a note from Sylvia saying, Wednesday, Bob, throw the other switch. As far as I can tell, all the switches are thrown. Okay, thank you, Asa. Says you're hot. No, really, I'm not. Grubby overalls and not at all. No, bad. Well, oh, you mean I'm broadcasting. Okay. Thank you. So, the other part of this is that I am presently waiting to see if I can get into the chat room. You know, it's not so much that I use this computer. It's more like I negotiate with it to see if it will participate with me in some sort of computing experience. But let's not sit around griping about that. This is the Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. It is the 24th day of May 2017. Let's see if I can say this right. This time, this evening, we are in the last full week of May for this year, 2017. And that means, we're headed downhill, hopefully, towards some Lithuanian licking and some Norsky nudging. Yes. And that being the case, this being a listener-supported program without any advertising, at least none that pays for it, pays for anything. I mean, I will gladly recommend to you, night after night after night, the wonders of things like Benton's bacon and Kaneka sausage. You know, and probably both of those companies are probably as red Republican as you can get. But when it comes to great food, really? If we're running straight, true, and hot, then why am I getting messages saying, where's the program? Hang on here. Let me get a couple of responses out. in just a second here. Sorry. This is what comes with technical difficulties that seem never to end. And I am frankly proud of the fact that I'm maintaining my serenity through it all. Waiting for a note from Asa to tell me, tune in is silent. I can only get you on the alternate stream. Thank you, Eric. Head on live. Okay, let me get another message out. Timeout. You know, this not to crawl up on the cross on a prayer meeting Wednesday or anything, but this really does get old. I don't know why. The White Rose stream is dead. I don't know why we've had the massive problems that we've had, and I apologize for them. I don't think I'm causing them, but I do sincerely apologize for them. Let me impose upon you for a couple of minutes of silence while I make sure that all my settings here are, and they were like 3.5 minutes ago, are all right, but stand by. I don't know if that'll make any difference or not, but I stopped and restarted the interface for the streaming. Somebody let me know if at some point in time you get... let me know, please, if you get the signal over... over TuneIn or Stitcher or... I don't know if anybody, I mean, everybody, so many people listen through TuneIn. I don't know if anybody actually goes and tries to listen directly to the White Rose stream. Well, Sparky just told me TuneIn and White Rose are dead. Headon.live, the only one working. And, you know, on top of it all, the recalcitrant, tired old computer won't let me into the chat room. Okay, so let me send out a tweet. Sorry for the silence, y'all. I mean, this is what you... I'm sorry. I'm just sorry. This will only take another second, and I'll see if I can gather my wits about me and get the program going. Because temper tantrums serve no purpose. Where were we? I have posted a... posted a tweet. And I've posted to Facebook. And I've sent messages to two or three folks. And I appreciate the input. What? I'm still being... You know, that thanks, but, I mean, that's... It's not an IE thing. It is a tired, old, worn out, should have been retired years ago PC thing. That's why I'm not in the chat room. Okay. And at 15 minutes past the hour, it's not like it just. So anyway, if you can hear my voice, we've got something on the order of 400 and I was trying to calculate from last night. You know what? We'll just say $400. I'm not up for the ciphering right now. The fundraising goal is $400 because we pulled up way short last night. And thank you, Jason. We have one subscriber on the 24th of the month. We sure could. One of these days, we'll get all those 400 subscribers in. And it will be... it'll be a great day. But, you know, we've got one subscriber on the 24th and a $400 fundraising goal. And it sure would be nice to meet it, because otherwise that means tomorrow night's fundraising goal will be 6, and that means 8 on Friday. And, you know, Friday, you know, even a Friday on the front porch miracle is not going to raise $800. And thanks, Eric. I appreciate it. Eric says, I'm an IT guy. When you have time, tell me what your PC configuration is and what you think you need for it to be needed for reliability. In the case of the production PC, I need for it not to be like 8 years old. Or however old it is. I mean, Jesus, I know it's more than 7 years old. But thank you. Thank you, Eric. I appreciate it. This studio runs on equipment. The newest piece of equipment in here is 2 years old, maybe year and a half, and that's a laptop. The second newest is 2.5 years old, and beyond that, everything else is about anywhere from 6 to 12 years old. That's where it is. And you know, the shame of it all is that people tune in for the middle of the midweek broadcast because it's prayer meeting Wednesday. And, well, because of the Shannon and the Cathedral of Common Sense and the... Right. And I was up for it. It's just intensely frustrating. It's frustrating when it happens once in a while. It becomes humongously frustrating when most of it is beyond my control. Till I can pull my head around to that space where I can, you know, do what we do here. Sorry. But so let's try it. Yeah, let's try this all over again. Oh, look, buffering. Well, it is. It's prayer meeting Wednesday. And we'll take all the, since it's 21 minutes past the hour, we'll take all the shtick as read. Let me see what the levels are looking like. Because I'm being told that the levels on HeadOn.live are kind of low. Okay, well, I'm doing about as much with the levels as I can do. What in God's name? Oh, okay. That's the computer. Just by way of... just by way of getting some prayer meeting Wednesday stuff in there. I mean, being how the deacons are all here and everything. And being as how the Reverend, to wit me, is about to get slain in the spirit and start speaking in tongues and frothing at the mouth and rolling on the floor and whatnot. Yeah, I did line up a couple of Jim Dandy little tidbits for this prayer meeting Wednesday. You got to. Because there's never a lack for examples of just how evil Christianity is as it is practiced by so many in this country. Let's start, and why the hell not? Let's start with Theodore Chabot. Now, he's a Christian. Just ask him, he'll tell you. He's a good Christian. Believes all those things that you have to believe if you're going to go to heaven when you're dead. You know, Jesus was born of a virgin. Joseph wasn't really his daddy. God had sex with a 14-year-old. Crucified, rose 3 days later, flew up into heaven. Did lots of miracles while he was here. And that's what you got to believe. You don't have to live a Christ-like life, a Jesus-ish life. Christ, of course, being a Greek word and having nothing to do with Hebrew or Aramaic or any of that. You don't have to do any of that stuff they talk about in Matthew. You don't have to the blessed are the poor business, the turn the other cheek business, the love thy enemy business. Nah, you don't. All you got to do is believe those that little handful of stuff, and by God, there'll be pie in the sky when you die. So I guess we shouldn't be surprised to find out that in almost no time at all, here comes Christian Theodore Chabot, and it's all tax-free, to slime all over the victims of the Manchester bombing. This isn't a matter of getting the hockey puck. This is a matter of having a bucket nearby, because this Christian is wretched. This Christian is wretch-inducing. Don't say you weren't warned.
In regards to this attack, I must say, I really have no sympathy for these people. The people who died, the people who were injured, the people who were scared out of their minds and who ran away. Ah! I really don't care. The types of people that go to these concerts are the same types of people who are responsible for the degeneracy that you see in society, the moral decay, the decay of nations. These people are responsible. They go to these concerts dressed up as whores, dressed up as sluts. They're pro-sodomite. They're pro-divorce. They're pro-infidelity. They have no interest to defending the culture and the morality and the tradition and the faith that Europe once had. They have no interest at all. They want evil. They want decay. They want sodomy. They want Sodom and Gomorrah. Let me show you guys some examples of what I am talking about here.
Oh, goody, visuals.
All right, so let's look at
on the radio
some of the people who went to the concert. Look at these people. Look at these people. What do I see? These are the victims of the bombing.
Let's see. Just so you can know, there's a young girl, and she's wearing because it's all about what she's wearing. She's wearing some denim shorts, and she's wearing a what appears to be black cotton camisole kind of tank top, but you can see the curvature of her bazoom because she's about half bent over because she's being led limping away from the site of this attack by a pair of firefighters. And then there's a guy, and he's wearing a sort of a cream-colored jacket or with a black T-shirt under it, and what appears to be a pair of short pants. You know, because it's mid-May in England, which is notoriously far from the Arctic Circle, which itself is really not that cold anymore. These are the sluts and Gomorrah yearners for whom this Christian has no Christian sympathy.
Right, I'm not saying bombing is good. I don't agree with it.
All right. Oh, well, okay, as long as we're clear on that, bombing is not good. Okay.
I don't agree with it. So let's get that clear. But let's look at the people here. This is why I really have no sympathy. Look at the guy with glasses on the picture on the right. Look at his hair. Shaved on the side. Looks like a freaking sodomite.
Wait, having a fade makes you a sodomite now? Son of a bitch. I guess that means Richard Spencer must be a real cock gobbler. Ay, ay, ay. Sodomites. Richard Spencer, neo-Nazi, by the way. Remember how we all kind of, on the day that Richard Spencer got punched in the face, the internet sort of caught fire with the idea of how wonderful it was to watch a Nazi get punched in the face. I'm not suggesting anybody do any sort of any such thing, but one wonders if the internet would celebrate if somebody like Theodore Shobot, who is just a walking, jiggling bag of pustulant filth and goo, got punched in the face. He sits there in his bedroom and talks into the webcam on his laptop and spews hate because his daddy set a gig up for him by being a notoriously bigoted Christian himself, Waleed Shobot. I don't know. And of course, then he'd cry that he was being persecuted in the name of Jesus, which he wouldn't be because he would actually be being punched in the face because he's an asshole and proves it every time he turns on his webcam. But underlying this is the fact that, again, I just remind everybody, this guy's a Christian. He's going to the same heaven that St. Francis is in. He's going to the same heaven that St. Paul is in, and St. Peter, and St. Augustine, and all the other saints that go marching in. And every other Christian. I know that pisses some people off. I'm sorry. But it's not my fault. Because, once again, this is proof that Christianity will not deal with its internal sickness, of which Theodore Chabot is a walking, talking, breathing manifestation.
Some sodomite lover. Look at the woman on the left. You can tell just by look. Come on, you can tell just by looking at them what kind of people these are. They're all, oh yeah, I love gay people. Oh yeah, I got a lot of gay friends. Blah 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 blah.
And that means, in his world, that they deserve to be blown up. In the name of Jesus, ha, glory, amen. So, God only knows. And God doesn't know. Because the God he worships is, if it's real, a demon. And if it's not, well, then wholly a figment of his imagination.
Right? Let's look at this article here. Ariana Grande goes on expletive-filled rant about homophobia. Look at this picture. You can just tell by looking at the picture, looking at the face, looking at the eyes of this girl, that she is a nasty, evil woman.
Nasty, evil woman. Okay. Because of what he thinks. Yeah. Marty pointing out, there's something about not but judging a book by its cover, or judge not lest ye be judged, that springs to mind. Yeah, that's not the part of the book that Theodore Chabot, good God-fearing Christian, pays any attention to. They walk among us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, an 8-year-old girl was apparently a sodomite, or a sodomite sympathizer, because she wanted her mummy to take her to see Ariana Grande, because Ariana Grande is beloved of the little tweeners right now. Theodore Chabot thinks she deserved to die. And if you were to inquire of Theodore Chabot, Christian, he'd probably tell you that she's in hell now because she wasn't saved. Yeah. Well, as we try to take a bite out of the $400 fundraising goal this evening, I have word from Brother Deacon Asa that he's willing to match the first $40 that comes in if other members of the Horn Family Community Congregation will come and pray with him in the fellowship hall, seeing as how we're having some problems in the Cathedral of Common Sense. Yeah. So, thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. Now let's move along to, this is a new name for me, Josh Bernstein. He's another right-wing radio guy, host of something creatively called the Josh Bernstein Show, that features a graphic of a Shure SM55 microphone. Sorry. An SM55 microphone engulfed in flames. Flames, Sheldon! There are flames coming from my microphone! I'm sorry, Sheldon, I don't know what you're talking about with these flames. And Josh Bernstein, who, incidentally, appears to be a shaven-headed fellow, when you hear him talking, you won't wonder why. He's got a solution to all the world's problems. Yes, sir.
Here's another example from the religion of peace. These people cannot live amongst us. They cannot assimilate with us. As I've said many times before, immigration without assimilation is a takeover of a country. You're seeing it in France. You're seeing it in Germany. You're seeing it in Sweden. My goodness, Sweden is an absolute disaster. You're seeing it in areas like Spain. You're seeing it in Italy. You're seeing it in even areas like Norway.
Even in areas like Norway? Norway's right next to the door to Sweden, and Sweden's an absolute disaster. He just said it. Maybe our buddy Scott can explain to us why it is that he's saying Sweden's an absolute disaster. You know why he's saying that? Because it's not legal in Sweden to run around calling on other people to mistreat people for how they look, what they believe, what their gender is, what their gender isn't. In other words, they have a hate crime law, and they do not fetishize the idea of free speech. There's plenty of free speech in a place like Sweden. It just does not include fetishized hate as it does in the United States. A couple of people, Hoghead in the chat room, and Marty by email. Marty says, immigration without assimilation? We're the Borg. Obligatory Star Trek reference. Got another one of those in a little bit. And then there's also Hoghead in the chat room who says, did we assimilate when we took this country from the natives? No, not really. Not so much. Heather says, tell Brother Deacon Asa I'll join him in the prayer room and pray, cry, or laugh at some of these right-wing nut jobs. Fellowship Hall. Fellowship Hall, Heather. Brother Deacon Asa went down to the Fellowship Hall because there might be some leftovers. One never knows. So, yeah, Brother Deacon Asa does have a $40 challenge on the table, and thank you very kindly to GK for jumping in and getting us down to $380. And the match of Brother Deacon Ace's challenge will take us all the way to down to 300, and that would be tremendous. Thank you. Thank you very much. And I am told, if you're listening on Head On Live and you want to switch over, that the White Rose stream, for some reason or another, is now working. It's like magic. I can't tell you why, but it is. So back to Josh Bernstein. Stein. Stone. Stupid. Who's upset because those people are ruining everything in and even Norway, where, gosh, just a few years ago, a guy who wasn't a Muslim, a guy who was pasty-faced and white as can be, got himself some guns and bombs and killed a whole bunch of children. Because he was a neo-Nazi right-wing asshole, just like Josh Bernstein is. And yet we can't seem to run the Josh Bernsteins out of our country.
And some of the Icelandic countries and things like that. Obviously Chechnya and Russia. You're seeing it all over the globe. These people come in, they have more children than the native people in their countries, and they literally take over these countries. You know, one or two people that are being killed is a tragedy. But when 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 100, 200, well, it just becomes a statistic to these people. And that's the problem. These people need to be eradicated from Western Europe.
Whoa! Just check. Okay, you heard what right? These people need to be eradicated. Eradicated. Nice, huh? eradicated, you know, eliminated. I don't know, Josh Bernstein, maybe you think you could maybe come up with a, what would we call it, a final solution for them? Hmm? These people? Yeah, I know.
People that are being killed is a tragedy. But when 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 100, 200, well, it just becomes a statistic to these people. And that's the problem. These people need to be eradicated from Western Europe. They need to be eradicated from the United States. They need to be eradicated, I would say, pretty much from everywhere.
Eradicated from everywhere? Now, let's remember, this guy is a, say it with me, one, two, three, Christian. And to the extent that he believes the same stuff, the nice little Christian lady down the street who will bring fresh baked cookies to somebody who's been laid up sick for a while and offer to pray over him and stuff. Same religion, same heaven. And they prefer to try to run away from. Wow, yeah, he's not. I mean, they're just. But tell me how. Tell me, because there's nothing in the there's nothing in the magic that says you have to live a Christ-like life. You just got to do all the believing stuff. Never mind all that business in the Book of James about faith without works is dead. Yeah, you get the idea. Yes, Muslims need to be eradicated from just about everywhere. And after they're done with the Muslims, maybe they can go back to work on the Jews. And after they're done with the Muslims and the Jews, they can go after, oh, I don't know, the Wiccans. And the feminists and the liberals. And the atheists and the agnostics and the free thinkers. Until there's nobody left on the planet but them. And then they'll go after each other. I think they should flip the whole process around and start going after each other and let the rest of us live in peace. But I'm crazy that way.
Because they have shown time and time again, whether you're a peaceful Muslim, whether you're a radical Muslim, you're shown time and time again that you just cannot deal and cope with being in a civilized society. So we've got to do something about it.
You know, genocide. Stand by a minute, please. Sorry about that. Where were we? Oh, yes. Genocide. How about that? A Christian genocidalist. And, you know, maybe my buddy Eric Bjorn, who is very decidedly Christian, could explain this to me. Because I was dipped by the heel in the stuff. So was Eric. Eric's a fundamentalist who became a Roman Catholic. I'm a fundamentalist who became a nothing at all. I became, I guess, one of those evil secular humanists.
But this is, and we, I think at our peril, we say, wow, you know, these are just outliers, Bob. They wouldn't have programs if there wasn't an audience. And you know what? This guy, he operates, you know, it's all tax-free, all of that. And he is supported. He's well supported. Doesn't start his program with a sick computer. Or wonder if the stream's going to stream. And the people like this guy and this guy, well, just like, well, you know, we had a note from Brain last night who freely admits to voting for Trump. Well, this guy's a Trump voter, too. And we know that of the core group that absolutely will not drop Donald Trump like a hot rock, these guys. The upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual Christians are standing right by Donald Trump, even though that man's no nearer to be a Christian than I am to be in the Pope at Rome. You get the idea. So there's that. So let's see. We've got a Christian assault on the sodomites. We've got a Christian assault on Muslims and a call for outright genocide. Who are we missing? We're missing, we got Muslims, we got gay people. The Jews! It's got to be the... it's all the Jews. It's the Jews' fault. That's what it is. Absolutely. And for this, we turn to Coach... I don't know particularly what it is that he coaches, except for the fact that we do know that he's mighty proud that he doesn't have one of those big-bottomed, short-haired lesbian softball players for daughters. Dave Daubenmeyer. Hi, Dave.
Here's why we're in the mess we're in, okay? It says, it's just an, that's it. Okay, this comes from the Strang Report, Stephen Strang, publisher of Charisma Magazine, sends out this alert.
No, really, Coach Dave Daubenmeyer is definitely not a coach in the art of word knowing because he is absolutely flummoxed by the word charisma.
Look at this alert. Why Trump's historic visit to Israel will bless America. We're killing freaking babies. We have over here. Hey, dude, we're having teachers in our school teach our children between a man and a woman. Hey, dude, man, or you can be a woman, or you can be whatever you want to be. Hey, dude, we're doing it. Hey, dude, we got us a government that's out of control, lying, stealing, corrupting, crowd. We're out of control. What's Israel, are you kidding me? Anybody see the irony other than me?
You know, he applies. The goddess is pretty open-handed with her gifts, but no, I think Dave's there because there's no mention of, like, you know, American made munitions being used to explosive devices on the cradles of little Palestinian babies. Oh, the real ones. We're not talking about precious little fetuses. We're talking about actual babies in the crib, not the womb. And, yeah. No mention of that by Dave Daubenmeyer. No, because he's a Christian.
This publisher of this Christian magazine focused again on what? There it is. The Gospel of Israel. As of his Trump's historic...
Wait, there's a Gospel of Israel? all those years and with the little old blue-haired ladies in the basement of the Southern Baptist Church, and the Gospel of Matthew, Gospel of Mark, Gospel of Luke, Gospel of John, went to college, learned about the Gnostic Gospels, the Gospel of Thomas. Never got around to the Gospel of Israel. Wonder what's in it.
Visit Israel will bless America. And I tell you what, this dude's head's stuck in a vice. How can you not see what's going on? Hey, Steve, look at us, will you? Will you look around us? Look at us. We got us a problem right here in the good old U.S. of A. Weren't you worried about what's going on here? Why are you so focused on Israel? Oh, my goodness, don't get me going. I'm going to get in a bad mood again.
He's in a good one now.
How many this email goes out to? They got Trump at the wailing wall. I hope he's wailing. Geez, I'm wailing. I'm here in my studio wailing. Holy, why aren't you wailing? I ain't wailing over Israel, I can promise you that. Boy, I'll get the emails now. You daggone idolaters of Israel. Give me a thumbs up just so they get somebody else to be mad at. It's idolatry. Idolatry of Israel. Idolatry of Israel. Israel, Israel, Israel. Israel.
Right on.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Just real quick. Who owns all the banks? Israel.
Gosh, I haven't heard that one since 1933. It's the Jew bankers. That's who it is. You know, there's another little verse that they miss out of their holy book. I think it comes from the book of Matthew. Yeah. That would be Matthew chapter 7. Verses 3 through 5 in the King James Version, which is the only real version because God speaks Elizabethan English and we all know it. And if you're reading any of that New Revised Standard Living Bible Version International, no, you're going to hell. It's just the King James Version. So Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and itinerant semi-literate rabbi, is talking to the morons who hung around with him. Atne ute aitbre, really, if you one what I mean, may. They prove it time and time again. And Yeshua looks at him because, well, let's get all of Matthew 7. Let's get the run-up to it. Shall we? Oh, look! Look what... ha! Son of a bitch! How about that? Prophecy cowbell to Marty. Matthew 7, verse 1. Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And so you get the idea here that Yeshua is just kind of pondering why people are... Because he does that. He wonders why people are such stupid assholes. Most of the Gospels are Jesus trying to figure out why people are the assholes they are. Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Now, let's understand something. A mote is a little teeny tiny speck. A beam is, on a comparative scale, humongous. So he's imagining one of these assholes standing there going, dude, you got a little bit of nothing in your eye, while you know, he's standing, and he can't hardly open but one eye because he's got this, you know what it's like when you get an eyelash in your eye? Think of that as the beam. Think of the mote as one of those things that makes you go, ah, son of a, yeah, right. So the guy with the beam has the much bigger problem, you know, because he's a hypocrite. And, you know, by extension, he's pointing out the fact that if the guy with the beam is actually trying to pull out, to get the mote, he's liable to just gouge out the other guy's eye because he can't, among other things, he doesn't have binocular vision, stereoscopic vision. He may be reaching for the guy's left eye and poke him in the right. Yes. Matthew 7's fun reading. Because it goes on, he says, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Swine. I've got a swine problem. Poor Jesus never had good barbecue. Chapter 7 is the lecture on dickheads. It really is. Of what man is there whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask for a fish, will he give him a serpent? Yeah. But of course, it's the Jews. According to Dave Daubenmeyer. See, I mean, we carry on and we have our little fun and whatnot, but this stuff is dangerous. This is no more and no less than the same kind of talk that was being bandied about in a certain large Western European nation from the 1920s into the 1930s until they finally got their way. Uh-huh. And again, under our fetishized idea of free speech, that's okay. Yeah, absolutely. Get behind the microphone and blame the Jews, the Jew bankers. It's the Jews, I tell you. It makes me sick.
Jewry of Israel. Idolatry of Israel. Israel, Israel, Israel. Israel.
Right on.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Just real quick. Who owns all the banks? Israel. Jews. And then we have, what do American Christians view as God's blessing? More stuff.
Money. More stuff. Money. More money. Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's kind of true. Right. But the blessings aren't coming from God.
The Jews have the banks. And what do Jews want? More money. Holy shit. I'm not Jewish. They probably wouldn't let me within a million statute miles of the Western Wall of the Temple Mount. But that chills me to the core. Because, you know, one Holocaust was one Holocaust too many. And here are these Christians, and they wouldn't lift a finger. They wouldn't lift a finger to stop the next one. In fact, these people... if you could convince Dave Daubenmeyer that there were some gay Jews too, well, golly gee, he'd start building crosses and laying bricks for ovens. I know there are some people that don't care for prayer meeting Wednesday, And sometimes I get a little worn out with the shtick, but other people enjoy it, so I do it. But I try to make a point of focusing on these vicious freaks. Because of the clear and present danger that they do represent to what used to be an open, pluralistic society. Because given their way, these Christian dominionists, these Christian reconstructionists, would wreck it all in a moment to set up their theocracy. And it would be a theocracy, you know, defined by them.
And they're coming.
There they are, brother. And but they're not really, Jared, because all they do is that they get students in debt. You get people in debt through mortgages. They get in debt through cars, and then you become a slave. We know that the scriptures tell us that the borrower is servant to the lender. We know that. And so this country and this group of people that we're blessing who aren't even bloodline Jews, we know that these people are putting us into financial bondage.
Aren't even bloodline Jews? That's probably going to come as a surprise to the vast majority of, you know, Jews. That a white Christian guy with an IQ of, you know, somewhere around the per pound price of bananas is, or per unit price of bananas, is sitting there determining who is and isn't, in his eyes, sufficiently Jewish. He probably thinks he is. Les with a note says, all these so-called Christians are con man atheists. If any of them really believed in heaven, hell, or the judgment, they would never do all the exact same things Jesus himself would cast them into the lake of fire for. Fuck these fraud grifters. And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. But the problem is, they are. Oh, some of them might be atheists, I guess. Some of them might be straight-up con men. But in my book, they're not near. Those aren't nearly as dangerous as the ones who do believe it. Yeah. These people, yeah, because if Josh Bernstein can use these people, I can use these people. I don't want them eradicated. But I damned well wish we could pull it together enough to keep, vote in sufficient numbers to keep them from ever having an impact. I do wish that. Well, thank you, Eric. Thank you. Eric in PA says, prayer meeting Wednesday is fulfilling what Yad Vashem asks. Never forget. I don't see how anybody can forget, and I don't see how anybody can even challenge the validity and the reality of it. That takes some real restaurant quality evil. The same kind of evil that perpetrated it. And maybe therein lies the answer. Yeah. But today also, I was glad it was prayer meeting Wednesday earlier. Simply because, we had a prayer meeting Wednesday gift. Yeah, you'll never convince me, and because, you know, I don't believe in any particular deities or anything except for the goddess of irony, and I can't help thinking that she had a hand in lining up the fact that Donald Trump went to visit went to visit Pope Frank at the Vatican on prayer meeting Wednesday, just so we could have that to talk about on prayer meeting Wednesday. And we do. And what a trip! First, he gets off the plane in Italy, and Melanoma avoids holding hands with him again, and he pats her on the butt, at which point, if she had shoved him down the plane stairs, I don't think there's a soul in the world that would have convicted her. And then they go to their meeting today, and whereas Melanoma and Ivanka walked around like bare-headed, huzzy Jezebel harlots in Saudi Arabia, suddenly they get to Rome, and they're a-putting on of the headgear. And neither one of them particularly Roman Catholic that I know of. Ivanka's, you know, a Jewish convert to Judaism, for God's sakes. I guess, really, literally, for God's sakes. No, for Jared's sakes. But lo and behold, they show up with the headgear on, even though ever since Vatican II in the early 1960s, mantillas and the lot are no longer, and then the various headgear are no longer required. Go figure. So then they get to the actual meeting, and Pope Frank starts telling Fat Donnie jokes with Melanoma. What are you feeding him? Because apparently he's getting rather corpulent. He wasn't always so. And then they get to the part, and if you want to see it, it's on my, you can probably find it on both my Facebook and my Twitter feed. There's this video where Pope Frank looks at Trump and then turns away and and he mugs the camera, okay? Let's put it that way. He mugs the camera like something out of a Bugs Bunny cartoon. You know, the one where Bugs turns away and says, "Oh, Margaret." I saw that I couldn't breathe. I was laughing so hard. And then at the end, in a moment of just sublime punking, instead of giving Comrade Kumquat papal snow globe with Saint Peter and you shake it and no. Or, you know, a Laurel and Hardy handshake or anything. As a lovely parting gift, Pope Frank gave Donald Trump, who has declared climate change to be a Chinese hoax, and I think he declared it to be a Chinese hoax because, Ivana or Marla one time gave him one of those little Chinese finger handcuff things, and he couldn't get out of it, and everything everything the Chinese do is cruel and inscrutable to him now. Yes, Labor Man, I wholeheartedly agree. Scrump is a dumb Jagov. But instead of giving him any of that, you know, an autographed picture, to Donnie from Frank, hugs and kisses, you know, autograph, 8x10 glossy with circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back of each one. No. As the parting gift, Pope Frank gave Donnie Marcus Aurelius a copy of Laudato Si, a copy of his papal declaration of the absolute necessity to pay attention to climate change and to work to mitigate its damages, especially as they relate to the poor and defenseless, and sent him on his way. Like I said, that is that's I don't know. I think if I was a cardinal and I got to hang around Pope Frank, I'd be careful about walking through open doors, because that's the kind of practical joke that that a guy who would put a bucket full of piss on top of a half open door would do. I swear by the time he gets to Belgium, and he's probably already there, somebody's going to invite that stupid bastard on a snipe hunt. You can almost see him banging around out in the Belgian brush with an old pot and a wooden spoon. Snipe, 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 snipe. And that's where you know, and then if you're especially cruel, you lead him into the poison ivy. Well, that's true too, Hoghead. Hoghead pointing out that unless it has pictures of naked women's in it, he ain't even gonna open it up. It's possible. But still, it was a nice, nice piece of practical jokery. High quality. So, I don't think we've ever done this before, but a cowbell for Pope Frank. Shall we? Yes. All right, then. We've got a lot more program left. The server is maybe working. I don't know. But I'll get emails. You know. Hoghead's been timing it in the chat room. And he says that the buffering events seem to happen with surprising regularity. Note coming in from Ron and Raleigh. Subject line, where does this shit come from? Hey, Bob, I worked with a young black man who firmly believed that the Rothschilds ran the world. I try to maintain a bright line between the state of Israel and Jews in general. Somewhere out there is a group of people that are keeping the protocols of the elders of Zion alive. Some Jews own banks, others run movie studios, some own delis, just like other people. Why are people so willing to believe anything negative about Jews? You'd almost, Ron, you could almost make an argument that it's hardwired. And it was hardwired largely by Christianity. If you've got yourself a working knowledge of history, you know, from about 100 CE forward. Well, there's one way of looking at that history as being one long pogrom. Because the Jewish people the story, their origin myth itself is a story of wanderers. Every time they sit down and put down roots, somebody comes along and says, "Nah, not here." And so finally, you get the Davidic Kingdom of Israel. And they turn into bullies. Part of the Exodus story is a story of God commanding them to commit genocides against other peoples. And so rather than understanding that mythology the way the people who wrote the book in the first place understood it, outsiders took it and appropriated it for themselves. And then along comes Christianity. At first, it was just a little subcult of Judaism. But then Saul Paul took it on the road. And the Greeks got hold of it. And then they passed it on to the Romans. I saw a story today saying, Donald Trump visited the home of the world's three great monotheistic religions, Saudi Arabia, Jerusalem, and Rome. Well, bullshit. Rome is not the home of Christianity. It's the home of Roman Catholicism, a form of Christianity. But if you want the home of Christianity, it's, the Levant. Jesus never saw Rome. If you want to make the Pauline argument, then it's Turkish Anatolia and Greece. The first Gospels were written in Greek. The earliest forms of the New Testament, written in Greek. It becomes the home of Christianity because of the mythology that is ginned up about events of Peter and Paul in Rome, who, when they weren't making candy bars with coconuts and either milk or dark chocolate and either almonds or without them, were said to have gotten the religion started. But there were already followers of Christos in Rome by the time Paul got there, if Paul was real, and etc. But like that clip with Theodore Chabot, everything he was saying could just as easily have come out of the mouth of a Christian in 4th century Alexandria before they got rid of what was left of the Library of Alexandria. Before they began murdering people who, thought thoughts instead of blindly obeying doctrine. The origin of Christianity, the origins of ecclesiastical organizational Christianity itself is a history of slaughter, beheadings, arguments between sects. And through it all, because of some unfortunate passages in the Gospels, when you run out of people to beat the hell out of, hey, look, it's a Jew. And that's where the pogroms come from. And every time something bad happened in Western Europe and Eastern, oh, look, must be the Jews' fault. They killed Christ. None of that forgiveness and mercy, none of that the church came up with complex rules for how to fuck the Jews. At one time, because they were hard up for cash, the king of France forgiven, y'all can come back. Come on, not a percentage of every, it's going to cost you to come back in, and then it's going to cost you a percentage of everything you make, and we'll let you stay for 20 years. The white Western European, they found themselves in the position of having to be nice to the Jews because the Jews could lend money, whereas the church lending at interest because they considered it to be banned by Scripture as usury. Then the papal state softened, so whoops, out go the Jews again. And by out, I mean the lucky ones just got ran out of the country. The unlucky ones got flat-out murdered. There was the church. And there were the kingdoms and the princes. You know why the deaths are happening? It's the Jews. They're poisoning the wells. Yep. And they steal Christian babies and drain their blood and make their matzo with it. Yeah, sure do. Sick fucks. The Christians, I mean. It finally got bad enough that during the time of the Avignon Papacy, the Pope himself said, "Now just stop it!" And everybody looked at the Pope and said, "Fuck off! We want to persecute the Jews. It's not like we've got any crusades to go through anymore. The Muslims kicked our ass from Jerusalem to Tyre all the way to Cyprus and all the way back onto the continent." Yeah. And there's a direct correlation between intelligence and enlightenment and tolerance. Ben Franklin, for instance, the nearest thing to, say, a Leonardo da Vinci that white people on this continent have probably ever produced, a Renaissance man. He was a member of the Philadelphia Synagogue, in good standing. Honorary, but still. And he'd been raised a Quaker. But he took an attitude of live and let live. Slave-owning Jefferson, on the other hand, brought in the first copy of the Quran. And I think it was among the books that were donated that created the foundation of the Library of Congress. The more enlightened you are, the more tolerant you are. The more ignorant you are, the more bigoted you are. They go hand in hand. And so, when you run across one of these people like Ron described, you know you're dealing with ignorance. And one of the more interesting aspects of that ignorance is that it will often manifest as perceived intelligence. Now we're going to take a break, and there's still a $40 challenge on the table, courtesy of Brother Deacon Asa. Unmet. And we've still got, and if it's met, that would take us down to only $300 to go for the rest of the evening. It would be nice if it was met. In fact, I had a note from Laurel a minute ago, well, a good few minutes ago. Bob, instead of $200 a day, you should crank it up to $250 a day. Bob Kincaid, podcaster. A man barely audible. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. There's the Skype line. I hate to ruin a good bit. A man barely audible. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to build the world's first bionic hillbilly. Bob Kincaid will be the man. Better than he was before. Better, stronger, faster. The $6,000 man! And cue the music. Thanks, Laurel. I appreciate the sentiment, but we have too hard a time coming up with $200 a day. Sure, let's raise it to $250. But somewhere along the way, maybe we do an equipment fundraiser. I don't know. Anyway, we're at the halfway point of the program. If you're on hold, stay there. I'm gonna take a little break. and we'll come back and see what's on folks' minds. This is listener-supported conversation radio. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
I am the god of hellfire, and I bring you fire. I'll take you to burn.
Fire.
I'll take you to learn.
I'll see you burn.
You've been living like a little girl in the middle of your little world. And you mind your tiny mind, you know you've really been so blind. Yes, you mind your tiny mind, you've fallen far too far behind. Oh no, oh no, oh no, oh, no. You're gonna burn.
Fire!
To destroy all you've done. In the middle of your little world. And your mind, your tiny mind, you know you've really been so blind. Burn your mind, your tiny mind, you've fallen far too far behind. Oh no, oh no. Fire to burn you from you.
I thought it was appropriate, The Crazy World of Arthur Brown and Fire. On this prayer meeting Wednesday on The Horn, let's run over to the Skype line and see who we've got. Hey, welcome to the program. Hello? I hear you breathing. Yeah, hello? You're on the air.
Hello, Bob.
Yeah, hello.
Oh, I thought I dialed the stress line.
No, you dialed the Skype line.
Okay, hi, Bob. It's Richard in Eastern Tennessee.
Yeah, hey, Richard, how are you?
Well, I'm burned up. This religion thing here has gotten to me. You know, I grew up in New York City, in Brooklyn, and the religious layout in New York is nothing like what I'm hitting here in Eastern Tennessee. I spent 40 years in the San Francisco Bay Area as well.
Richard, you were not ready for this. But don't say I did. But you know, when you started talking about having to move out of the Bay Area, and I remember why, don't say I didn't warn you.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's interesting. I mean, you know, New York is a very Catholic city, very Roman Catholic city. Got a lot of Irish and a lot of Italians, and that's what I'm used to. I'm Jewish by origin, but I was raised atheist. That's one good thing I got from my parents. They're both atheists, and I'm very comfortable with that.
And probably manifestly more healthy.
Well, it's hard to be an atheist. I say that because the entertainment, there's not very much entertainment available for atheists, you know. Not much music, statues, paintings, you know. you get together with a bunch of other atheists and you say, gee, I don't believe in God. And the other person says, no, I don't believe in God either, you know. It's not very interesting. I have to cop to that.
Well, I mean, I think we could probably tease that out a little bit, Richard.
Go ahead.
Maybe. Maybe the way to have the best of both worlds is to be dipped by the heel like I was, and then get over it. Because then you've got the availability of all the back references. It's kind of like watching a serial television program and jumping in and on episode 19. Like, you know, let's say you just jumped in at the end of The Sopranos, but you knew all about the mob, so you got all the inside jokes, right?
Okay.
Maybe that's what it was like for me, but I don't know. I don't see being raised godless as having the fun taken out. No. Sparky, for instance, who doesn't much care for prayer meeting Wednesday. Part of the reason he doesn't care for prayer meeting Wednesday, if I dare speak for him, is because it is totally and utterly irrelevant to him, because he was raised without any of this madness in his life. Like you were.
Yeah. But I had the madness around me. And I guess one of the advantages in New York City is there's such diversity among the people that no one brand of it, you know, aside from all the Catholicism, no one brand of it is paramount.
Well, that's the way it's supposed to. That's the way it's supposed to work in a pluralistic society.
Yeah. You know, and I think I mentioned before when I called about the churches that are listed in the newspaper here. This town actually has a newspaper 4 days a week. And on Friday, they list all the churches, all the places of worship. 167 of these are official Baptist churches in two counties. That just blows me away.
And who are they for? I mean, okay, let's back up on that one too for a minute. Why does the newspaper need to print where the churches are? Is it such a humongous megalopolis there that you can't tell a church from a grocery store or from a firehouse?
No way.
So, in other words, what the editor of that paper is doing is pandering.
Well, let's see. There is one Episcopal church and 167 Baptist churches. There is one Catholic church. There are two Lutheran churches, one of each variety. There are two fake Jewish temples. They're actually evangelical, whatever that is, you know, evangelical Judaism. And there is one temple, one real synagogue in a nearby town.
Now to me, that would be worth it. I'd love to go to a synagogue in, you know, East Tennessee and hear the reading from Torah done, you know, with a banjo accompaniment. I got it.
Well, you know, I mean, I feel like an outsider with those folks too.
Well, yeah, because you don't participate in the malarkey. And I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It's malarkey.
Yes.
I mean, there's been, since, you know, Tangerine Tiberius took off on Friday, and there's been endless discussion of who's wearing headgear and who's not wearing headgear.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, Trump became the first president of the United States ever to visit the Western Wall. Okay? And so there's a picture of him wearing the headgear. And it just... I don't care if it's Islam, you know, I'm equal opportunity on it. Islam, Judaism, if there's an animistic tribe of people in the Amazon rainforest who have to wear a special straw hat so that God won't strike them dead, I think that's dumb as shit too. Okay? If your relationship with the almighty, eternal creator of the universe has to have an adjunct piece of headgear, how is that not just silly as shit? I mean, can you help me, Richard?
I can't. I mean, I have no justification for it. I want to mention, too, that there are two atheists meetings in Knoxville, Tennessee, every week. And that's a bit far for me to go. I will go. I just want to hang out with those people once and see what we can talk about. Although it's 60 miles, that's a 120-mile round trip.
Yeah, but you know what that's going to wind up being? That's going to be a small handful of people, bad coffee, and probably talking about how weird the 167 goddamn Baptists are.
I didn't talk about the other, you know,
But where you are, I have to. But where you are, Richard, I have to offer a caveat.
Yeah.
The Baptists are the middle of the roaders. If you want weird where you are, how many churches of Christ are there?
Let me think. There are a few, yes.
And please understand, these aren't the nice churches of Christ. This isn't the churches of Christ that marries gay people. These are the people that think you're going to hell if you sing accompanied by a goddamn kazoo, okay? Everything
They
sing is a cappella, and when the Church of Christ choir sings, it would make a fucking freight train take a dirt road, okay?
Okay. Well, the Seventh-day Adventists, I don't know them very well.
Well, they think... Seventh-day Adventurers, if I recall correctly, they do their worshiping on Saturday because it's actually the seventh day.
Yes, I know that much.
Doctrinally, and then there's the Nazarenes. You know who you'd get along with? Because if you can't get along with these people, you can't get along. The Unitarians, Richard.
Not around here.
No Unitarians? Or are you telling me they're Unitarian fundamentalists who burn question marks in people's yards?
No, there's no Unitarians on that list.
Congregationalists?
I don't remember. I don't think there are. I think I would have noticed that, because I got my degrees in Connecticut, and there are congregational churches there. I would have noticed it. That would have stuck in my mind.
Well, then I'm afraid you might be out of luck. If you want a kick-ass sound system, as Hoghead is pointing out in the chat room, you want to go to your Pentecostals, and you'll get the added bonus of watching people roll on the floors, and there might be some Crisco anointing going on, and the tongue speaking. Until you've been in a church where somebody just leaps off into speaking in tongues, you really haven't had the proper fundamentalist experience. I would not recommend. I would not recommend seeking out the serpent handlers, though. Them little squirming suckers get away, and that no, they head right for the those little fang bastards head right for the heathens every time.
What about the Church of God in Christ?
Oh, they're bizarre. You might get some tongue speaking and floor rolling.
See, my barber is one of them.
I'd keep my atheism to myself if anybody's got a blade to my neck in that neck of the woods.
Well, see, I'm going to, out of sheer cussedness, I'm going to a black barbershop.
Well, I think Church of God in Christ might be a because I think the apostolics also have a history in the African American community. No, not the apostolic holiness. Yeah.
Well, I had an experience with a neighbor. I was walking down the street, very short street. My neighbor is building a carport with his brother. And I stopped to chat. And
because you're a likable, friendly, personable kind of guy.
Yeah. And my neighbor's brother said to me, "You're a Christian, aren't you?" I said, "No." He said, "Well, what are you?" I said, "I'm Jewish." His eyes lit up. A grin crossed his face.
"Crucify him!"
He said, "Jesus was a Jew." I said, "Okay, I'll buy that." And then he said, "Well, do you pray?" I said, "Sometimes." I lied.
That's gonna cost you 14 Hail Marys and 3.5 Our Fathers. Okay.
Yeah, and he said, "Sometimes," and then went on to a spiel about that. He said, "Well, what are you going to do when the end of your life comes? You're going to either go up there or down there." I didn't let on that I think it's all bullshit, but I just stood there quietly. And he said, "Well, where are you going to go?" I said, "Well, I've led a good, clean life." He said, "Well, that's not going to get you into heaven. It's what you believe." And I'm feeling trapped.
Well, see, isn't that just what I just said a little bit ago? Yeah.
What's that?
Living a life like Christ, doesn't matter. It's what you believe. Now, this doofus has apparently never read the book of James, which is a direct refutation of all the death cult stuff, where he says faith without works is dead. You can pray all you want to, you can believe all you want to, but you got to get out there and make a good life out of the life that's been given you if you want to expect anything in the hereafter.
Bob, as I mentioned earlier, I grew up around a lot of Catholics, and Catholics are into good works.
Yeah, they are.
And I'm thinking, in the midst of this conversation, I'm thinking, what am I trapped in right here? This is insane.
Oh, you're in, and I mean, I'm not picking on Tennessee here, okay? It could just as well be North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, Kentucky, West Virginia, Alabama, and other states as well. But you are in... You're in the 19th century, Richard. In case you didn't know, let me break it to you. You're in the 19th century. Especially that neck of the woods, East Tennessee, had a lot to recommend it in the 19th century and even in the 18th century. In the 18th century, It was a bunch of drunk East Tennesseans who went up over hill and whipped the shit out of the British and saved the Revolution, because Cornwallis was on his way to string up George Washington.
Yeah,
and the drunk hillbilly and the drunk hillbillies put paid to that. In the 19th century, the Civil War came along. East Tennessee didn't much care about a bunch of molasses-voiced Southern aristocrat slave owners. The land wasn't much good for big plantations, and slavery wasn't a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
But also there was in the early part of the 19th century, there was something called the Great Awakening. And what the Great Awakening was the elimination and the killing of the Enlightenment. There was nothing awakening about it. It was an evangelical frenzy that swept the young United States and carried most of it away on a massive tidal wave of abject stupidity.
I didn't know about that.
You can look it up.
Yeah, it's interesting.
And it never really went away there. And it's complicated to even try to comprehend for somebody like me who, you know, like I said, dipped by the heel in it.
Yeah, you were bred up in this culture, right?
Yeah, not East Tennessee, yeah. North Alabama.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I extricated myself from these people. They're nice people, you know. They're good neighbors. And 2 days later, I found a business card under my doorstep. This is good. It's for the Assembly of Yahweh. Roger Midkiff, pastor.
Oh, no. You're all red. Oh, Richard, they want you to be their pet Jew.
Yes, an evangelical yet. And I felt so pissed off. You know, it's like when somebody tries, first of all, nobody has tried to convert me to Christianity. Hardly at all in my life. And the assumption that this is cool to do is arrogant. I mean, it's, I felt really dissed.
Well, I think you have a right to.
You know, it's a, your religion's no good.
Well, it's not, I mean, it what's going to happen to you when you die? And yeah, I'm just fresh out of fucks to give, and I look at people who say, well, what are you doing with your life while you're alive?
Yeah, good point.
And that's part of the weird dynamic that obtains in this great awakening evangelical thing, is that you know, if you look at a place like West Virginia, and they you know, they weren't Southern Baptists when they came here. All right?
Right.
My wife's ancestors were freaking Quakers. And her ancestor got thrown out of the Quakers because he, if I recall the story right, he had this silly insistence that black people were as human as he was. And so later on, his kids, one of them comes down into what becomes West Virginia, and they weren't Baptists, they weren't fundamentalists, they weren't snake handlers, but that bunch, by God, is now. You know, presumably my Kincaid ancestors, when they took it on the lam from the King of England, in light of the fact that Bonnie Prince Charlie was a mackerel-snapping Catholic, I guess my guy was too. Well, a couple of hundred years here, and you know, they're floor-stomping, hand-clapping Baptists. And you know why that is, Richard?
Why?
Because they lost their education. they lost their enlightenment. And they went into a place where there was very little time for such niceties as literature and high-minded philosophy, and there was plenty of time for death and mayhem and misery. And if somebody can offer you a little bit of rest in the afterlife when this life is a veil of sorrow and tears, I mean, the whole reason that that veil of sorrow, the whole reason for all of that is because of the miserable existence that common people are subjected to. Yeah, well, you know. I mean, what would you do? I'd think there was something better when I died, because while I was alive, it weren't much to write home about.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, I remember West Virginia. You know, I've got relatives in Charleston from New York City. And
level of the...
Yeah. Well,
They had their own culture here. One of my ancestors, my great 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 grandmother's brother, was the preeminent circuit riding preacher of the era.
I remember you talking about him.
And his central sermon was how God ordained white people to be owners of black people. In the name of Jesus.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And to this day, there's a church named after him. Sam Black Church at Clinton, West Virginia. It's one of the few, if not the only, post office in the United States that's not a town. It's just Sam Black Church Post Office. Or something like that. But it's a function of ignorance.
How many generations back is that from you?
To the Scotsman?
No, to your circuit riding.
Oh, let's see. Mom, grandfather. LaViggy, Dick, Charles, about five generations, six generations.
Seems like just yesterday, doesn't it?
Well, but that's another one of those hillbilly things. We talk about our ancestors like they're still in the room. The fact of the matter is, if you got hillbillies together with people who were into with a culture that was into ancestor worship, or not worship but reverence, hillbilly'd be like, "Yeah, I can get that. Yeah, because you know we were just talking about old Pap the other day."
Okay. Well, you know, the other thing that's interesting about this place where I live is that there's a lot of manufacturing here. Modern manufacturing, especially of car parts. And there's a place that makes truck trailers, you know, the semis like that. There's a Japanese company that makes car parts, Denso, like Nippon Denso. There's a company that makes beds for hotels and summer camps, and more auto parts factories. I kind of come across them by accident.
And you know why they're all down there, right?
Yeah, cheap labor.
Yeah, and right to work laws.
Yes.
So that means that a person can work like a dog at these factories, and still not have a middle class life.
Right. And in a way, that's changing. There's almost a labor shortage. They're having to pay more. But if I go to the supermarket, there's an expensive supermarket here that amazes me in the variety of merchandise that they sell. Like, there is a kosher section, believe it or not. and they sell tofu, different kinds of tofu. And I can get coffee from California, the real good stuff. And I keep wondering, who is buying all this? I want to meet these folks.
Well, liberals imported to East Tennessee. I mean, the same sort of thing happened in the town where I was born, because you had people coming from all over the country to work in the plants that sprung up to take advantage of cheap Tennessee Valley Authority electricity alongside the Tennessee River. And so you got people coming from West Virginia. You got them coming from Wisconsin, from New York, from Connecticut, from Maryland. I mean, these are just some of the states where the parents of the kids I grew up and went to school with came from.
Mm-hmm.
And so consequently, you get cultural infusions into the community that makes that community a better place. And so that sounds a little bit like what you're describing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I keep meeting people who come from somewhere else to live here, which is always a surprise. And I like it here.
Well, it's a lovely area.
It is.
And it's not too far from some pretty nice places. It's a pretty easy drive to the Eastern Shore beaches. You're not too far from a place like Atlanta. A really cool hipster town like Asheville. Asheville, North Carolina is just a hop, skip, and a jump. Great Smoky Mountains just up the road.
Yeah. And somebody put up an atheist billboard a couple of towns away from here a few years ago before I came here. Because of the billboard was vandalized. And I would like to meet such a person. You know, I just don't know how.
Well, they did it in the name of Jesus. You know, the vandalizing.
The vandalizing, but I want to meet the person who put up the billboard. I have no idea how to find him.
Well, you know, it may not have been somebody around there. It may have been the larger statewide atheist group. Because, see, we're talking about the general Cleveland, Tennessee area, right?
Yes, we are.
That place is a hotbed. I mean, isn't there some crazy-ass theological seminary there?
In Cleveland? I don't know Cleveland. Cleveland's 30 miles away from me. I have yet to explore Cleveland.
And then there's a real vile, nasty theological seminary on down the road in Chattanooga.
Yeah. Let's see. The Seventh-day Adventists have a university outside of Chattanooga in this direction. And here there is Tennessee Wesleyan College, although maybe called Tennessee Wesleyan University. I'm not sure. So that's what I know. I don't know how the Wesleyans are the Methodists, right?
Yes. And I can't really, it seems to me like there's another outfit there too, but I can't pull it. I don't. But what I love best about this conversation, and I'm so glad you called, Richard, is that it's like it's because of who you are and what your cultural background is. It's like you're delivering a travel report from a strange and foreign land. Because to you, it is.
It is. You're right. You're right. And I've been feeling kind of lonely. And it's like I don't know how to connect with all these interesting people who are stuck around here, you know? It's like I feel like going to this one lonely synagogue.
Right. And yet you never had any problem connecting in the Bay Area, did you?
No. Of course not. It's diverse as all hell.
And you just walk up and, hey, right?
Yeah.
Which is, of course, considerably different from the way I've heard New York characterized, which is, you know, everybody walks with their head down. Nobody looks anybody in the eye.
Well,
everybody's kind of in a hurry.
In New York, you're sort of isolated in the midst of plenty of people. You try to create a little bubble, a zone of anonymity around yourself because you're so packed in with all these people, you know? You want to get some space for yourself. And is that making sense to you?
No, it makes perfect sense. It's you got people right on top of you, above you, below you, beside you, around you. That's neighborly enough.
And in New York, everybody seems standoffish, you know. They don't want to know you. But actually, New Yorkers tend to be very friendly people. You know, you just have to scratch the surface.
Yeah, after you break the ice.
Exactly. But just ask somebody for directions, and you'll get 10 people trying to tell you how to get there.
And only 9 of them will work. You know, the 10th one, you wind up in New Jersey.
Well, New Jersey always felt like a foreign country to me, which is too bad. I mean, you know that New Yorker cover that shows the rest of the United States from the view of New York?
I've seen that, yeah.
Yeah, it's very true. It's like that because in New York City you can get virtually anything you want. You don't have to leave New York. My father, was a fine artist, by the way.
Yes.
And my mother was an arts and crafts. Well, she wound up her life as her work life as the arts and crafts director for Campfire Girls. She was an occupational therapist. My father, as an artist, was an outsider. He was, you know, you aren't supposed to do that. And I'm a musician by training. So, my father was an outsider. I'm an outsider, you know, in more ways than one. So, as you say, you know, I come here and I give a report of the outsider who comes into the Deep South.
And so do people look at you from time to time and say, you ain't from around here, are you?
Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
Well, let me make something clear to you. If you live to the great age of Methuselah, and I hope you do, God love you, you should live long. There. That's my attempt at the accent. There will still be people there who look at you, you know, up in your 9th century and say, you ain't from around here, are you? My mother and father moved to Alabama in 1960, and she lived there for 37 years until she died, and people there told her she talked funny until the day she died.
Nobody's done that yet. They haven't, a couple of people have said, they've asked me where I'm from, you know, and I said, I moved here from California. And they said, well, why did you do that? And I just, you know, I tell them the truth. I say California just got too expensive, the cost of living. It was too high. And they seem to accept that. You know, I tell them I have a friend here who assisted me in the move. I couldn't have done it without him, you know.
Yeah.
I had another friend in Wisconsin who I thought was going to help me. It turned out he was really too sick to do it. And I almost rented a house in Madison, but it turned out that I was dealing with a Nigerian scammer.
Oh.
And that took, I can't tell you how much that took out of me.
Financially or emotionally?
Emotionally.
Well, that had to. That had to have. You're not. There are worse places to be than where you are. Believe you me. I remember when we had the conversation. You said, "I'm thinking about West Virginia," and I said, "Stop. Don't come here."
Yeah, you did.
Because even the nice places don't have sufficient infrastructure for somebody who doesn't want to be, joined at the hip to an automobile.
Well, what about Charleston? They have buses?
Hey, yeah, but not so much.
Bob, I'm in your boat in terms of health care. I didn't know that. That's the one thing that is really giving me major trouble is that Tennessee is the northernmost state of a block of southern states that did not sign on for expanded Medicaid.
Right, and I thought we talked about that a little bit.
No, we didn't.
Yeah, you could have had it in Kentucky. You could have had it in West Virginia. Tennessee is not the northernmost state. Virginia doesn't have it.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah,
but I'm on Medicare. I'm on Medicare, and I could easily use up almost my entire cost income paying for co-payments.
Yeah.
Under Medicaid. I'm an old guy. I mean, under Medicare. I'm an old guy, and, I'm one of your oldest listeners. And
I didn't realize that.
You know, every time I see a specialist, it costs me $40 a pop. And those $40 really adds up. They add up because that's what old people usually do, is they see specialists. So I'm thinking about moving again.
Wow. That's a tough call.
Yeah.
Because at this point in time, with the possible exception of California and California because it's got the population that it can maybe go it alone, and Massachusetts because it's got Romney Care, nobody else in this country is safe. Thanks to the people who failed the one question IQ test last November, nowhere is safe.
What was the one question IQ test?
Trump or Clinton?
Oh, you know, it's just funny. My neighbor across the street, very friendly guy. If you happen to be white. He had a Confederate battle flag flying in front of his house. And then the Baptist church came along and said, that's not cool. You know, after how many years?
Well, thank heaven for small favors, I guess.
Yeah, you know, I mean, they said, hey, this is not cool. This is not good. This is not exactly nice to those black folks like my barber, you know.
Yeah. There are a lot of good things. There are a lot of things that are special about the South, but there are a lot of maddening things as well.
Yeah.
But it is not a monolith. It's not monolithic. There's all kinds of little pockets of progressivism. Had you chosen, for instance, to go to Nashville, you probably would have had decent access to some sort of mass transit.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like they've got a rail system or anything, but, you know, buses. And there are real pockets of progressivism in Nashville.
Yeah, I know. I noticed.
But then there's the associated cost, and the same thing goes for going to Atlanta. You know, you go to the big city, you take a beating. Financially speaking.
Yeah. Financially, that's true. Any place where there's a college, the rents are high. And, or, you know, college of any size, I think.
If you do move again, maybe you could look, just assuming that something like the Medicaid expansion continues to exist, you could look up into Kentucky. Matt mm-hmm. Bevin hasn't managed to take it away yet. You get up around the free state of Louisville. You might find something you like. Cross the river into Ohio. Maybe, you know. It's a tough call.
Yeah.
I mean, I've made some inquiries because I've more or less quit talking about it, because to talk about it makes it sound like I'm trying to, you know, make something of it. My situation is what it is. And if it kills me, it kills me. I looked at moving. I looked at the cost of going and getting surgery. And they're both impossible. I mean, I can't get some little apartment, some little one bedroom, $1,500 a month apartment in Massachusetts just to get Romney care, because sitting in a one bedroom apartment, I can't do this because the neighbors will complain. You know, what with the shouting and the carrying on.
Oh.
I mean, I gotta, you know, that's one of the better parts of, you know, living where I live is there's nobody to bitch, because I don't have any neighbors sitting right on top of me, above me, or below me.
Mm-hmm.
you know what I mean?
Yes, I do. I do indeed.
And so, wow. You know, it's a brutal situation that I share with millions of other Americans. And, you know, we had the breaking news story this afternoon that the Office of Management and Budget finally got around to rescoring the American Health Care Act, you know, what we call Tryin' Care. And hey, you know, what's 23, 24 million people thrown off of health insurance? They probably really weren't doing anything for Republicans anyway, now were they? So who cares
really,
if they die?
I got together with the Democrats here. I thought I'd mention this to you.
Both of them?
Yeah, it was about six of them in a storefront on a side street. Very nice place. They're giving up the storefront because they can't afford the rent increase that they got. And all old people, Bob.
Oh, yeah.
Around my age.
Yeah, not surprised.
One, a fierce union person, you know. But, I mean, back to you. If you moved to Massachusetts, could you afford the cost of living?
No. We barely get by here.
I know.
And so, you know, it is what it is.
I couldn't
afford $1,000, you know. I saw a house for sale in Massachusetts that's actually smaller than the one I'm in, and it was $200,000. And it didn't even sit on an acre of ground like mine does.
Sure. Where in Massachusetts was this?
Oh, I'm not sure. Maybe it was Springfield, Worcester. I'm sorry, Worcester, somewhere like that.
Yeah. I was on the air in Springfield, you know, 50 years ago.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
But I don't think there's anywhere in Massachusetts where I'm going to find a house and an acre of ground, you know, that I could basically sell this and buy that.
Yeah. it's just a dilemma question coming to me. Where will I live? You know,
and it becomes an existential question, Richard.
It is. Well, I just had an exam done, gastrointestinal issue, an internal inspection. And my copayment was $325. And I saved up for it for a year.
Sound like Mayella Yule saving nickels.
Yeah. And I still don't know what's wrong with me.
Oh, great.
It's like you.
That's $325 well spent. Hey, well, Bub, you got my $325? You got an answer? Ain't got an answer. I still want the $325.
Well, that's how it is.
Well, that's why they call it the practice of medicine.
I think, people talk about they want Medicare for all, and I really think what we need is VA for all. I think Veterans Administration coverage is better. I'm not 100% sure of that.
Well, with all the problems that attended... the scandals that have attended the VA, I'm not so sure either. What we need is Canada Care for all.
Oh, I go for that. And you know my involvement with the healthcare industry, right?
Oh, right. Yeah, you sat on the board of the board there in what was it? Wasn't Marin?
Contra Costa. Contra Costa County. The country's first public HMO, and what a beautiful thing that is, by the way. Even as screwed up as it became, a lot of doctors that we have are in it because they want to be. They're not in it for the money. Especially some of the young people. It's just a pleasure to have them.
And it's a damn shame you can't afford to live there.
Well, I was there 40 years.
Yeah, I know, but, I mean, you got priced out of your home. Thanks, Google.
I did. Well, my landlord wanted this house back for his kid.
Well, see, I was always suspicious of that. I think he wanted it back for 16 young enterprising workers at Google, you know, cramming them in like sardines.
It's just a little bit too far north for Google. Google's putting them up in San Francisco proper. And I found when looking around, I found the rents were skyrocketing all over California. So they go up in San Francisco, they go up in Oakland, they go up in Vallejo, they go up in the Central Valley. I was even looking up by the Oregon border.
You know, I forget who it was. Somebody sent me a map of health outcomes, a national map.
Yeah.
If you want to have the best health outcome, the best general health in the United States, you know where you go?
Where?
Marin.
Really?
According to that map, yep. And, well, you know, what a lovely little place Mill Valley is.
Oh, yeah. So you were there, weren't you?
Yeah. I saw some million dollar two bedroom bungalows.
Oh, yes. Yes, indeed. Well, you know what? I saw the other side of this. Marin County has only one hospital.
Wow.
Which is scary. That's scary. And it's farmed out to a private company for management. See, Marin is bountiful.
Yeah, well, nobody gets... Yeah, they probably don't need but one hospital. Nobody gets sick in Marin.
It's so beautiful, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, it'd be embarrassing, wouldn't it? You've got heart disease? Barbarian? Troll? Yeah. That or, you know, something else gets you.
Yeah. Well, I after 40 years in California, I'm not used to counties that are this small. So when I talk about the 167 Baptist churches, I'm in two counties. This is a small area, you know?
Yeah, and are there 167 Baptist churches in, you know...
Contra Costa County, California?
Right.
I don't think so. I really don't think so. You know, the thing about California counties is there's hardly any of them. There's only about 22 counties in the whole state of California.
Now, we went over that one night on an after hour. I thought it was closer to 50-some.
Well, I could be wrong, but each county is large. It's very big. So my county where I was living, Contra Costa, you were in Contra Costa County, by the way.
I was?
When you... Yeah, you were you went out on a boat from Richmond, I think.
Yeah, from Richmond. Yeah.
Yeah, that's Contra Costa County.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, the other end of Contra Costa County is in the Central Valley. It's almost all the way to Stockton. It takes you about an hour to drive from one end of the county to, and this is freeway driving.
Right, I was going to say it'll take you a couple hours to drive from one end of the county I'm in to the other, but mountains. Winding roads.
Exactly.
Gravel.
Exactly. Yeah. I didn't know that part.
Well, which road you choose.
Yeah. Well, I'm still, believe it or not, Charleston, West Virginia on my list, you know?
Take it off. I'm not kidding. I mean, unless you're going there because your cousin's there.
Well, it's because my cousin's there. I'd like to know somebody.
But... This state, I mean, I'm not
said that, probably.
And it's not going to get any better. They're just and then everybody's going to have a job, and
really?
It's going to be frisbees and wheat checks for everybody.
Oh boy!
And yeah, Ron and Raleigh just checked. Yeah, there's 58 counties in California, which is hilarious because there are 55 counties in West Virginia. And you can probably put West Virginia. Yeah. You can probably put West Virginia in two California counties.
Well, you know, one of the counties in California, Alpine County, is very interesting because it's got only two towns in it, and that's it. It's all national forest. It's on the eastern slope of the Sierra.
That'd be a beautiful thing to see.
Yes, very close to Reno, Nevada, and it's just all open country, very heavily wooded, nice. My son said to me once when he was young, and I was working at Hewlett Packard at the time, and I took a week off. My son said, "I want to go to Reno and see how ordinary people live." I had to.
Wow.
You know, I had to give in to that request. So we went there by way of Alpine County and drove over the top of the mountains and down the other side and stayed in Markleeville. And then went on to Reno the next day. And we stayed in Motel 6 and then, you know, ate at the Peppermill. And the next day we went to Sparks, which is right next to Reno.
Yeah.
And we went to a shopping mall. And looked around, you know, and drove a little bit through the suburb, and it was like San Jose, California. It was exactly like San Jose. I didn't have to leave California at all. It was...
Oh, and by the way, by comparison, Ron and Raleigh just told me, there are 100 counties in North Carolina, 63 people a day moving into Wake County. He said it's getting to be right pricey.
What's special about Wake County?
Schools.
Oh.
Universities. And despite the fact that they've got a white wing maniac government, there continues to be economic growth.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's the Hillbilly Highway poured West Virginians into North Carolina back in the 80s and 90s.
What's the Hillbilly Highway?
Well, a long time ago, it was Route 23 that went up into Ohio and then northward to Detroit. And in one of the previous coal collapses, people left here and went up there and spent the rest of their time pining for West Virginia. And the southern version is to head down I-77 into North Carolina to find work.
I see. Well, that might explain. You know, you used to have a passenger train that ran to Detroit. I mean, through the Kanawha Valley and wound up in Detroit.
Well, there used to be a lot of passenger service. Now, there's the Cardinal that basically bisects southern West Virginia. And it goes to D.C. and then ultimately winds up in Chicago, and that's it.
By the way, Trump killed Amtrak in his budget.
I know.
Yeah.
If there's any upside, it's that maybe that budget. Well, I mean, when you've got people like Mark Sanford of South Carolina, remember him? He was the governor of South Carolina when he went hiking the Appalachian Trail with his mistress in Argentina.
Oh, with his mistress? Oh, yes, I remember that.
Yeah.
He said
that budget was just cruel, nasty, vicious, which was kind of surprising coming from him. Hey, Richard, it's been a lovely conversation, but I am going to we need to draw it to a close because I want to give other people a chance to get in if they want.
Let's do that. It's been a pleasure chatting with you.
Well, both. don't be a stranger, okay? It's been too long, and I love your little reports from a foreign land.
I do. I feel like an immigrant here, man.
And just don't go talking your atheist stuff while your Church of God in Christ barber has anything at your neck that could cut you.
He's the minister.
All the more reason I say what I did.
Okay. I think this is very funny. It's my ornery cussedness that has me going to this barbershop. Besides, it gives me a good haircut. So, yes, by the way, it was a pleasure hearing Jim this today.
Yeah, it was good to have Jim call back. I had a couple of emails saying we're a community. We worry. We fuss at each other. We cuss. We carry on. But we worry when we don't hear from people.
Yeah, I know. Okay, let's get off the phone and you get on to your next call.
All right, you take care, Richard. Take care indeed. Good to hear from you.
Thanks, Buck. You too. Bye.
Bye. And, of course, the key, if they offer you grits, don't say, I'm pretty full, I'll try a grit. Don't do that, okay? It just, no. Steve in China, who seems to have, I hope, sorted out his listening issues. I mean, there's been buffering like crazy. God knows why. Steve in China, Jewish Christians, Christian Christians, and Sun Pagans. Bob, question. The best thing about living in a country with mobs of deluded Christians? Answer. Knowing they are completely unaware they're resting on the day of and worshiping the sun, as in that big, beautiful, up-in-the-sky sun, just like any decent Roman emperor. That's true. Most Christians have no idea what they're worshiping, any of it. That's why I'm not a Christian. I do know. By the way, found your server and managed to get the live feed. Oh, the Chinese People's Liberation Army say they're not interested in hacking your system. There aren't enough Americans of sufficient intelligence listening to pose any sort of threat. I don't think he means the horn system. I mean, yeah, right. Good to know you're back, Steve. Good to know. By the way, thanks go out very kindly. ACE's challenge got met and then some, which means, let's see, that took us down to $300 to go. It was kindly met by Colin. Thank you, Colin, in Illinois. And thank you to Laborman, who has put a $140 challenge on the table. See, how that works is if we could get that $140 challenge met, that's just 14 people at 10 bucks, and we got more than 14 people listening. We got 15. Kidding. In between the buffering and whatnot, if 14 people kicked in 10 bucks, they would meet Laborman's challenge, and we would find ourselves with only 20 bucks to go to finish fundraising in the next 25 minutes. So thank you, Laborman. Thank you very, very kindly. Note coming from Kitty in Boston. Can I please hear another cowbell for Pope Frank? Yeah, why not? He gave the world a masterclass in trolling today. Seems his holiness ran out of fucks to give when Donnie and the Adams Family reunion showed up. Oh, Kitty gets her own cowbell for that. Oh, Donnie and the Adams Family. Morticia. Caroo! Yeah, okay. Michelle Obama's what the close-up at the inauguration pales in comparison to the papal mugging. Trump got owned today. Bravo. Hear, hear. That's true, Kitty. The email was worth it for the Adams Family reference. Yeah. I'll be okay in a minute. I really will. What? This just in from Mike in Cascadia. The Republican candidate for... The Republican candidate for Congress in that hotly contested now race for a seat in the U.S. House got body slammed? The Guardian reporting audio obtained of Greg Gianforte attacking a reporter on the eve of a special election to fill a congressional seat vacated by a member of the Trump administration. Julia Carey Wong reporting the Republican candidate for Montana's congressional seat slammed a Guardian reporter to the floor on the eve of a state special election, breaking his glasses and shouting, "Get the hell out of here!" Ben Jacobs, a Guardian political reporter, was asking Greg Gianforte, a tech millionaire running for the seat vacated by Ryan Zinke, about the Republican health care plan when the candidate allegedly body-slammed the reporter. "He took me to the ground," Jacobs said by phone from the back of an ambulance. "This is the strangest thing that's ever happened to me in reporting on politics." Jacobs subsequently reported the incident to the police. Gianforte's campaign did not immediately respond to requests for comment. By the way, this tech millionaire pumps money into crisis pregnancy centers, which we have discussed on this program in the past. A giant, filthy con. Nasty. Nasty con. That takes women in a vulnerable time and basically hoodoos them until they're past the time at which they can get an abortion. Audio of the abortive interview recorded by Jacobs captures the altercation and appears to reference previous questioning from another Guardian reporter. "I'm sick and tired of you guys. Last guy who came here did the same thing. Get the hell out of here. Get the hell out of here. Last guy did the same thing. Are you with the Guardian?" "Yes, you just broke my glasses." "Last guy did the same damn thing. You just body slammed me and broke my glasses. Get the hell out of here." Altercation took place at Gianforte's campaign headquarters in Bozeman, Montana. He tried to ask him a question. Jacob said, I decided there was no harm in asking one question, and the worst thing that could happen was they'd tell me to go to hell. No. No. He's a Republican and a Trumpansee, and so, you know, they get violent. Christ. Okay. Play the audio, Bob. Thanks, Mike. This will take a minute. This should be good. Apparently, it's better than my impression. Now all we've got to do is get the production computer to cooperate in opening the mail. Na 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 na. Doop 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 doop. All right, we'll be here in a minute. All right, yeah, okay. Let's see if it's going to go. Maybe. Could be. Hopefully. We're still waiting. Oh, for pity's sakes. Okay, let me try it. This is worth the effort. Ron in Raleigh says, you know that Gianforte will win the whole of the Republican vote. They loves them some violent assholes. Yeah, this thing's just going to sit here and churn. Let me try it on the other machine. There it is. Okay. This should work. Here we go.
To the CBO score, because you know you were waiting to make your decision about healthcare until you saw the...
Really? We're going to...
Bell image. Just came out. And what
yeah,
you
and we'll talk to you about that later.
Yeah, but there's not going to be time. I'm just curious if
okay,
you have to
speak with
right
Shane,
now.
Please.
But you don't...
You guys, the last time you came here, you did the same thing. Get the hell out of here. Get the hell out of here. The last guy did the same thing. You were the guardian?
Yes, and you just broke my glasses.
The last guy did the same damn thing.
You just body slammed me and broke my glasses.
Get the hell out of here.
You'd like me to get the hell out of here, I'd also like to call the police. Can I get you guys' names?
Hey, you gotta leave.
He just body slammed me.
You gotta leave.
How's that not a crime? Is it? Is this IOKIYAR? It's okay if you're a Republican? Why is this guy not under arrest already? I just heard. Were those fighting words? Because, I mean, I know we had a little audio issue. Let's try it again.
To the CBO score, because you know you were waiting to make your decision about healthcare until you saw the bill and it just came out. and what you thought.
We'll talk to you about that later.
Yeah, but there's not going to be time. I'm just curious if you have
to speak
right
with
now.
Shane, please.
But you don't.
I'm sick and tired of you guys. The last time you came here, you did the same thing. Get the hell out of here.
Jesus.
Get the hell out of here. The last guy did the same thing. You were the guardian?
Yes, and you just broke my glasses.
You last guy did the same damn thing.
You just body slammed me.
Did what? Did the same damn thing. Asked a question? Every journalist under that circumstance does the same damn thing. Well, you know, he's a Republican, so he, you know, wants a fawning, he doesn't want a press doing, you know, press stuff.
He broke my glasses.
Get the hell out of here.
You'd like me to get the hot dog here, I'd also like to call the police. Can I get you guys' names?
Hey, you gotta leave.
He just body slammed me.
Hey, you gotta leave, man. No, I can't. You can't get mine. I can't give you mine. You gotta leave, man. It's not like he's judgment proof. He's a millionaire. Oh, please sue him. Please sue him. Please, 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 please. Because there's not an affirmative. What? Did he feel threatened? Was his life threatened? Because he was asked on, because he said he was going to wait to say anything about the health care bill till the CBO score was out, and now the CBO score's out? Jesus criminy. Yeah, no kidding. Robert in Australia says, imagine what this guy's like to work for. Meanwhile, there's been a response from the Democratic candidate Rob Quist.
Good. A quick word. A reporter in Bozeman just tweeted that your opponent body slammed him apparently at an event, broke his glasses. Mm-hmm. Wondering what your reaction is to that.
You know, I guess I hadn't heard that. You know, so for me, I guess that's really not for me to talk about. I think that's more a matter for law enforcement, I guess you'd say.
What would a reported assault do to the race at this point?
I guess, again, that's not for me to judge. You know, so it's I'm just focused on the issues that are facing the people of Montana.
Thanks, guys.
All right.
Thanks, sir.
In other words, let John Forte, you know, stew in his own juices. Laurel with a note says, it's dangerous observing a chimpanzee in the wild. Yeah, there's a lot of nasty about this guy. It's not like he's getting, no. Really, if you pour your millions into crisis pregnancy centers, there is something deeply morally flawed about you. But let's... wow. Thank you, Frank. Thank you very kindly. Laborman's challenge has been met. $20 to go to finish fundraising for the evening. Thank you, Frank. Thank you very, very, very much indeed. Not having to send Lassie to go tell Timmy that the horn's down the well tomorrow is a big deal. Thank you so very much. Thank you. And, you know, who knows? Maybe that other 20, maybe we'll get... It's okay. 220 tomorrow is fine. We can handle that. But my God. These Western... Well, Western Republicans, Southern Republicans, whatever. Let's run down to Texas real quick before I run back over to the phone. Denton County, Texas, and Sheriff Tracy Murphy, who is not happy at all. Sheriff Murphy should get together with Theodore Shobot. They could probably have a lovely, lovely conversation. Pay attention to what you see in Manchester, England tonight. Pay attention to what's happening in Europe. This is what happens when you disarm your citizens, when you open your borders without the proper vetting, when you allow political correctness to dictate how you respond to an enemy that wants to kill you. When you allow these radicals to travel to Afghanistan and Iran and simply let them back in, when you give up your cities and your neighborhoods to a religious ideology. It goes on. A religious ideology that says you must convert or die. An ideology that treats women as property, kills gays and women and Christians with complete impunity. The left tells us we must submit and accept these radical beliefs and bend over backwards to make sure we don't hurt anybody's feelings. The left wants to cater to the very group that would kill every group they claim to support. Folks, this is an enemy hell-bent on killing you, committed to forcing you to convert or die right there in Denton. This enemy will strap bombs to their own body and blow themselves up killing children. I'm sick of it. You better wake up, America. While you're distracted by the media and crying of the left, Islamic jihadists are among us and want to kill you. What will it take? This happening at a concert in Dallas or a school in Denton County? If we don't do something quick, this country will die of political correctness and the fear that someone's feelings may be hurt. It may very well be too late for Europe. That's T-O, late for Europe. Wonder how Sheriff Thumbbutt there feels about the neo-Nazis that got popped in more ways than one, in Florida there, who had bomb-making materials and, you know, some radioactive stuff. Good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing Americans, that's what I think. But I love the part where this is, you know, the bombing in Manchester happened only because they didn't have guns. Because that, you know, that would have certainly stopped the bomber. 19,000 8 to 14-year-old girls strapping heat. Jesus, the stupid is strong with these people. God almighty. Wow. Just wow. Thanks, Mike in Cascadia. Mike in Cascadia says, I'll get the 20. Thanks, Mike. And Robert and Oz did the same thing at the same time. So we're good. Thanks, y'all. And let's check in real quick with Good Todd in South Carolina. Hey, Todd.
Yeah, this is Good Todd, not a bad Todd, dude.
Right.
Yeah,
you're not cranky Todd.
No, I'm only cranky. Yeah. So, do you remember the Obama derangement syndrome?
Yes. Okay. It was preceded by Clinton derangement syndrome. And the whole damn thing fueled more than a half a generation of right-wing, multi-million dollar right-wing hate radio.
Right. So, honestly, this is, oh my God. So, you know, honestly, we're right back. Van Jones was right. The white lash. I didn't even know he said white lash. I was saying that shit, but I didn't know he said it first. I didn't know. But these folks, like presented with facts, are like, no, he's doing a great job. I'm like, but he appointed someone to the Department of Energy who has no idea what's going on in Hanford. No, he's doing a great job. He didn't know that he was in charge of, you know, nuclear waste. He's doing a great job. Leave him alone. Give him a chance.
Oh, you do that way too well. You do that way too well. Well, and then there's
my girlfriend loves to say, "Ooh, come love on me, baby.
I'm gonna have to use it now. Damn it! I got to be up at 4:30 in the morning, and I'm gonna have to use the brain bleach right before bed. That's never any good. And then there's have you heard the latest, Todd? You know that, of course, that Michael Flynn lied on his 2016 security clearance re-up, right? Because he just kind of left he just kind of left everything blank on the question about by the way, are you taking any money from the Russians? I'll leave that blank. Maybe they won't notice.
That's what I'm saying. These motherfuckers are incompetent. Well, look at my representing reptile, right? Fucking Mulvaney. Remember I told you what?
Yeah. Who said today we're giving Big Bird a tax cut?
This asshole sent me a letter saying I should not even fucking talk to him. Paraphrasing. This motherfucker sent me a letter and called my goddamn house twice. Two motherfucking times. Because he said, well, you shouldn't be talking to me because you didn't vote for me. I don't represent you.
Well, unless you told him that you didn't vote for him, how would he know? But, no,
I hope I was loud enough.
So there's a... There's another thing breaking this evening. Turns out Attorney General Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions III had the same problem applying for his security clearance. He left out the two meetings that he had with Russian Ambassador Sergei Kislyak.
Oh, wait a minute. You mean when he lied on his job interview, which in essence is like when he's in front of the Senate?
Right, when he was in front of the Senate and he got caught lying, and he subsequently said, well, I didn't understand that meant, that was when I was a senator, you understand. That doesn't really apply to me wanting to be Attorney General of the new United States of America. No, he actually had to fill out forms and he left them blank.
See, that's fucking white privilege, people. If you don't know, that's what it is. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm really happy about Mark Sanford.
No,
there is more
white privilege in that than an entire truckload of premium saltine. Okay?
I'm glad you said that C word, because I will. But
out of your cracker.
Did I say this yet? I don't know if I was like. Because you know I get so comfortable talking with you on the phone, but like this is here from him, this fucking cracker ass son of a bitch. Period. However, what I'm saying is that it was like this straight up crackered him from way back. I mean, this ain't no new shit. His hemoglobin is cracked. You can't change that kind of shit.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
It takes a lot to get away from how you're raised. Like, you had to be an accessible individual, okay? So he's not the guy for the job. That's why he didn't make a federal judge, because people were like, yeah, you know, nah, not really, no. Mm-hmm. But, so do you understand what I'm saying?
I do.
And then the fact that he committed a felony that was obvious to everyone in Congress. And I remember the first time he spoke in public, when he was talking about the immigrant, the look, like they say about us, the look in his eyes. He had deviousness in his eyes. I could see that shit. I'm like, this motherfucker has lost his goddamn cracker mind. Fuck him.
Well, so, yeah, but they all have, Todd. I mean, you can't sort them out with you'd need one of those little fine tooth combs that comes with a de-lousing kit to sort these people out. There's a brand
like the rid that we used to get back in the 80s.
There's a brand new story out that on the overseas trip that's going on right now, that's just been a barrel of laughs from start to finish or start to middle. Uh-huh. Yeah. Comrade Kumquat has somebody there on the trip who is an employee of Mar-a-Lago. Okay. This has been reported by BuzzFeed. The reception manager at Mar-a-Lago is working logistics on the trip.
Right.
Her name is Heather Rinkus. She's got a government-issued BlackBerry and email.
BlackBerry?
Yeah, those are the secure. They're deemed to be more secure, I guess. I don't go figure.
Okay.
Probably because nobody uses them anymore.
That's what I'm saying. That's like fucking dial-up. All right.
Nobody will respond as to who's paying for her travel. And by the way, she's married to a guy named Ari Rinkus, who is a two-time loser convicted felon, presently on probation for the role he played in a Ponzi scheme.
Ari.
She started working at Mar-a-Lago in 2015. Before that, she worked for, wait for it, Amway Hotel Corporation, which is, of course, owned by Betsy DeVos's family.
Right.
Jesus God!
This is looking ugly.
I read a story earlier today that Representative Green from Texas, who has been threatened with lynching for suggesting that Trump should be impeached. He's working on articles of impeachment. Where do you start? It came out today that the Trump administration and the Trump organization, neither one of them, are keeping track of whether or not people who stay at his hotels are doing so on government business so that nobody can claim, so that nobody can complain that that's an emolument, when we all know that emoluments are what you rub on Russian hookers.
I had to call earlier one day because I feel like they're stealing as much as they can, as fast as they can. But he had the whole Turkish, I don't know if I said that he had night, but he had the whole Turkish coalition. All these people staying at the place where he was told to fucking get rid of in the first place, the White House, the post office hotel that was totally, there's no way around that. It was wrong. Like, everybody said, no, you cannot. They told him from the jump, you cannot use this hotel. Even the Republican people who used to work for Bush were like, yeah, that's wrong. You can't do that. Do you know what I'm fucking talking about?
Yeah, I do.
He just does not give a fuck. I don't think he's coming back. Plus the fact no, I'm serious. I don't think this asshole is coming back.
Oh, yes, he is. There's more to steal here.
There's more to steal. He put the G in grift and graft. However, this shit is out of fucking control. But his minions, man, this great white hope bullshit has got to stop. I'm sorry, people. I'm sorry, man, that you didn't get who you wanted, but you got who you wanted, but you're going to get it is what's going to happen, and you're going to blame the wrong people.
Yeah, and when he steals them blind, they'll stand around here in places like West Virginia and Alabama and whatnot and say, yeah, well, he's my president.
Stand by the president, because
y'all got to give him a chance.
Give him a chance. We didn't ride when that nigga got in there. We was quiet. Now y'all be quiet. Let that man do what he got to do. Now y'all, he nigga, that's good to up.
He got a lot of cleaning up to do.
Yeah, not right. Niggas like me. Problem niggas. Because I know how to fuck shit up, goddammit. Oh, God. I'll taste some connecting and knock him in the head. Ain't good.
We got to get out of here, Todd. We're past time.
Hey, all right, man.
Later.
All right.
Bye. Our buddy Good Todd in South Carolina. Wow. Just wow. Give him a chance. Thanks, everybody. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to our midweek moderator, midweek utility infielder moderator, Steve from Georgistan. Thank you. To our news ninjas, thank you, John Fox. Thank you, Ben Birch, for all the work you continue to do. Thank you to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all.